Sometimes you're the kind that you're Shemeika owner, but certain things you gotta.
Can't rely on Shemeika, you gotta say it yourself. So you're moving around? Okay. Cookies look too good to pass up.
They are good. You're good, some of them.
They're good, they're just
a meal. Yeah, they're fantastic. Okay. Let's don't put oatmeal down on the streets outside. Okay, so we started talking about Shabbos last time. Rosh Hashanah, we had a very rich conversation. We're gonna pick up with that. Let's just. Remember where we were at. We came from the perspective of looking at the way in which the Torah presents Shabbos the first few times. We started looking at now we're a week closer. Next week's Parashas Mishloach. The Shabbos all of a sudden, the Jewish people as a people who encounter Shabbos first and sort of very dramatic, almost like surprise with the man. And we saw Moshe almost like, you know, sets up the surprise to Jewish people. Oh yeah, Hashem had told me that. I just chose to not, to sort of let you discover that on your own. It was very, very a striking Mon connection. And then, and the truth is that Shabbos comes up a couple times in Chumash Shmos. Every time is another twist. It's going to come up, obviously, Yisro and the Aseret Sedibros. Then it comes up in Key. So that's a whole other set of sort of, you know, pieces about Shabbos in there and the way it's presented in the service of Shabbos. Then it comes in Kisisa, which happens to be where the Torah talks about Shabbos as an os. The whole idea of tefillin being an os, Shabbos being an os. That terminology, but we think of Shabbos as a sign of something, so that's the Kisisa presentation. As an aside, it's not directly relevant. It actually, Biskrov points out, the Torah that talks about Shabbos as a universal oath and Shabbos as a sort of a personal oath. Shabbos universal oath for the world, the cosmos, and God, and Shabbos as an oath for us, Jewish people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's yet another angle. And then finally, you have in Vayakil, the Torah once again reviews Shabbos at the very beginning of Vayakil. So Vayakil starts first, but we think Vayakil is Shumat Tzav Yaakov Pikudei Mishkan, but that's starting from the fourth pasuk in. The first three psukim are about Shabbos. Moshe Vayakal, Moshe gets all the Jews together and says, you gotta keep Shabbos, and also let me tell you about the Mishkan. And that's where the whole Shabbos Mishkan combination for Lama Tzav Malachas comes from. So, like, over the course of Chumash Shmos, Shabbos keeps sort of coming in and out, making these appearances every time, like, from like a different angle and different aspect. And when we think about Shabbos, we tend to think a lot about the Vayakel perspective and the Yisro perspective. You can't do Malachi, Lamatas Malachas, Mishkan. But here, it's sort of like a different, not the part of Shabbos we can sometimes tend to appropriately stress, but saying sometimes overstress, like so only exclusively focused on not doing Malachi. There's some of the whole other picture with the Mon, with the, and then we start taking a look back. Chaim Friedlander took us back to the first time to come across Shabbos was in Bereishis. There, Rashi says, like, the Mun piece is already sort of implicit in the way that Vayvarech Vayikadesh, which is a little mysterious, God's giving a bracha to Shabbos, God's giving Kedusha to Shabbos, way before anyone's keeping Shabbos. And he said, Rashi had said that had to do with the Mun. With no Mun on Shabbos, Del Mun on Friday, that's Vayvarech Vayikadesh. So that's, like, intriguing. Yeah, that's fascinating, like, the Mun Shabbos connection runs very deep. It's not just it happens to be the Jews bump into it first. It's something like there. It's something maybe that we're not, like, you think about, like, almost like our Shabbos is impoverished. Because I'll give you an example. Like, when we think of Yom Tovim, we probably think we do a pretty good job with Pesach, and we do a pretty thorough job with Sukkot. The truth is, we're missing so much, we don't even realize how much we're missing. Because if you think about where the Torah describes Yom Tovim, so much of them happen in the Beis HaMikdash. I think the Torah is from the last week also, right? So much Yom Tovim happens in the Beis HaMikdash. Every single Yom Tov. Right. And it's like central to the whole Yom Tov. Like, we're so used to, like, the way we do Pesach, and we do a lot for Pesach, but, like, we don't even realize how much we're missing. Okay, so that's something, okay, but, like, we can't have it because we're on the Beis HaMikdash. But with Shabbos, sometimes we do sort of the same thing, but we don't, it doesn't have to be that way. There's, like, we think about Shabbos, we think a lot about what we can't do. That's certainly a critical part of Shabbos, but it's not the only critical part of Shabbos. And that's something sort of like we almost like cheat ourselves of Shabbos by only seeing like this one dimension of Shabbos. The the Parshas Yisro, Parshas Vayakel, Kentu Malachapis, what's with the mum? And the Torah presents, the way Rashi reads the Psukim and Breishas, the initial presentation of Shabbos is not, Shabbos can't do Malacha, Shabbos Mishkan, Lavatas Malachas, it's that Shabbos Mum. So what's this supposed to be telling you?
But the one is Malacha, that you can't do on Shabbos. No? I mean, yeah. that's why they got it on Friday and not on Shabbos, because they want us to speak tomorrow on
Shabbos. Maybe. On Shabbos. It could be. Although,
so then what else is there? What, if it's not that, then what else is it?
What else is there? That's it.
Why else would he do that?
Good. So turn the page. Let's take a look. I think we had ended at the very top of page Tav. Echal kim yom ha'shiv malachta ha'shirasa. Kadosh Baruch Hu ends his malacha. He says, quotes Rashi, this is a really strange pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu ends his malacha on the seventh day. So we reached that pasuk because we were saying Kiddush, but if we actually translate it, it's like lullabies. David Foreman's part about lullabies, man. Like, when you think lullaby, rockabye baby, I can think like right away you have these like warm, fuzzy associations, right? Dark room, and you're comforting the baby. Don't you actually think what the words mean? Like, vicious, horrible, macabre. And it's like about like leaving the baby hanging from the tree and the baby falls and falls. Like, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's Grimm Brothers. Right? So, you know what just happened? Like, you're so used to it, we don't even actually think of what the words mean. Right. If you know what the words mean, so that's like a horrid, yucky, disgusting negative. But sometimes it happens in positive. David Foreman calls it a lullaby effect. Like, it can be positive, but it's also like you're so used to certain texts that you never actually think about what it means. So it says, like I've heard it thousands of times, say Kiddush. What does it mean? God ended Malacha on the seventh day? Like that, you know, the whole premise of Shabbos is that God did Malacha for 6 days, the rest of the seventh. But Pasuk Chumash, like top line in the page Tav, Chalakim Yom Hashim Lachta Asher Asa. God ceases the Malacha on day 7. So what's that supposed to mean? Who turned out the lights? It's what the Chumash says in the other pasuk right next to it, and that's what we sort of assume that the Malacha was done on day 6. So Rashi has two pshatim. First pshat is Tosefes Shabbos. Hashem cut it very close because he's God. He cut as close as he wants to and not go over the line. So to me, it would have looked like he went over the line. Okay. That's why human beings aren't God, so we've got to leave ourselves a buffer. Certainly important.
That's why I'm walking out.
Okay. If you're walking to the Chadodi, and where you used to be for a while, so that's great, because that means you left the house like around Chasos. So that's good. And we'll leave it at that. Now we'll move on to the next pshat in Rashi. The Farish Rashi, here, the third line. Tavracher, second pshat. Moving on. Tavracher. Mahaya Olam, listen carefully. Mahaya Olam Chaser Menucha. You know what the Lord was still missing? What was the universe missing? It was missing menucha. Missing rest.
So he created rest?
Oh, exactly. Ba Shabbos, ba menucha. Shabbos comes, menucha comes, kosev nigmar malacha. And the malacha is over. So, huh? So he says, well, meaning God created menucha, like you said, right? So what, could we slow it down there? Like, could we get a replay on that? Hayitzirah shel Shabbos shenos va'at lebria he menuchas haShabbos. Mean Hashem didn't create a thing; things were done before. But God created menuchas. What does that mean? Zu yitzirah chiyuvis means it's some positive accomplishment. God created something that was created. We don't usually think of menucha as like something. We think of it as a lack. You don't have. You're not doing anything, so now you're chilling. You're relaxing because you have no work. Am I relaxed because it's New Year's Eve? No, I'm relaxed because I don't have work, so I'm relaxed. But I'm like, what do you mean the menucha of Shabbos? God created menucha. How do you create menucha? When you work hard to create a vacation, it usually means that you're not resting. You're doing lots of stuff, which is great, but not resting. Rest, it just means like, no. What does that mean?
Well, it could be, I mean, he created time for one to spend with his family, one to spend davening, one to spend learning. That could be that. He created the time for one to do other aspects of life they might not do as much during the week. So he created time for that. I don't know.
That's possible.
He created a day for one to spend getting close to actually getting close to one's family. So he created a day. He finished creation in 6 days of what he needed to, and he created the seventh day as a
just to create space.
Create
space in your schedule almost.
Right. For one to...
Well, just the concept of taking time to stop once you're done creating.
Right.
And taking time to stop also.
He was modeling for us. You have to... There's something proactive in making sure. Great. So how do we do that? So how do we implement that? So he says, let's look at another pasuk. Here in the fourth, halfway down the page. We'll skip a drop. Page tough. There's a paragraph that begins with the word betzivui. We also got another pasuk. It's also with 6 and 7, and let's figure what's going on there. Betzivui ha-Shabbos ha-Aseres ha-Dibros. When the Torah talks about the Shabbos and Aseres ha-Dibros, it's again familiar psukim from Kiddush, this time from Kiddush in the morning. Zachar Sabbath Shabbos ha-Kadsho. Sheish ha-Zem ta-Vol ba-Sisa kol melachtecha. Yom HaShri Shabbos Al Shem
Elokecha. So that, I think it makes sense with that pasuk.
Oh, great. Excellent. And let's see how well it fits together. Which part of that pasuk is necessary?
Both, man.
Why?
Well, again, he tells you, he took him 6 days, took Hashem 6 days to create what he needed in the world. He was done creating what he needed to create. He wants to create another day for how to put it where you put it 6 days and count it into effect.
So the next pasuk, when the pasuk says Kishesh Yamas Hashem Shemayas Aretz, so that I get. We're telling the story. God worked 6 days. Yom Shishavas Yinafash. But why do you have to have a here? This pasuk that we just read in the bold letters in the middle of the page. That's talking to me. It's talking to human beings. Kishesh Yamim Ta'avod. You should work for 6 days, and the seventh day Shabbos Hashem Lekav. Seventh day Shabbos to God.
Well, or is it Shabbos for you to serve Hashem?
Okay. Is all this pasuk equally necessary?
You really only need the second part of it because you already knew he worked the 6 days.
Oh, we know he worked 6 days.
You only need the part that says, "And on the seventh day you should rest."
Oh, and remember, the pasuk isn't the same what God does. The pasuk is the same what you're supposed to do. So, is that part of Shabbos? Part of Shabbos is that you're supposed to work Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Sheshes Yom Tavod, mitzvah? I mean, it is a mitzvah to work, but Sheshes Yom Tavod, like, let's say I was on vacation. So I was on vacation for an entire week, so I'm not Mekayim Shabbos. That's what Pasuk said. Sheshes Yom Tavod, you have to work for 6 days. Shabbos! That's what Pasuk means.
You do Malacha, though.
Huh?
Avodah means Malacha.
Okay. Let's say I did no malacha. Is that really what the pasuk means? Like I'm mechuyis to do malacha? Probably not.
You're supposed to prepare yourself for this. For Shabbos. Shabbos is the goal. That's what it sounds like. What it's saying is, 6 days you just do your thing. You do whatever you need to do, and the seventh day that's for God.
But it also means you don't have to include God during the week.
No, but the malacha that you're doing for God on the seventh day is whatever is for God. Is the menucha that we were talking about. So you could be on vacation, you could be going to your job, you could be learning, whatever it is. Do whatever you want in the 6 days, according to whatever, and the seventh day, we're giving that to God.
So clearly, first of all, pasuk is necessary, otherwise it wouldn't be there, right?
Oh, right, great. I agree. That's why we're not stopping. No, we need to explore. Let's try to explore. Let me throw something else to you. Shesh yisab in ta'avod, v'yasisa kamalach. Number one, the whole first half of the pasuk, we're not 100% sure why. Just say Shabbos Yom Hashi, Shabbos Yom Kecha. Hey, you have to tell me to work on 6 days. I need a job. So
you're working 6 days towards the seventh day.
Okay. V'asisa kol melachtecha. Yom Hashi, Shabbos Yom Tavod. Do all your work on 6 days. What does that mean?
Do what you need to do.
Let's say you're not done. You can't leave anything over for Sunday. After you finish everything, this is pretty intense. Every Friday afternoon is a deadline. You can't leave anything over for...
It doesn't say you should finish it.
Right.
Do, you kol malachtecha.
Do your work.
Do all your work. What's the kol malachtecha? No. You do what you do on 6 days. When Shabbos comes, you stop. So, no. There could be different ways of reading this, but take a look at the way the Mechilta, which is a very ancient Midrash, goes back to the days of the Tanaim, and gives the following interpretation. It's the bolded line at the end of this paragraph. So it's not about reality. Reality, look, whatever you get done, you get done. It's your business. Like, you do more, you do less. It's a good idea to be productive, but that's not like a Hilch Shabbos issue. You want to be unproductive, so that's your business. What the Torah is telling you from a Hilch Shabbos, I mean, from a work perspective, you got to be productive. But from a Shabbos perspective, the Torah is not talking about facts on the ground. It's Torah talking about a different reality. Kishatov, you see the end of this paragraph? In the bold. Kishatov o Shabbos, yehei be'einecha ki'ilu kol malachtecha asuya. When Shabbos arrives, you have to look at things as though, ki'ilu, kol malachtecha asuya. In my mind, everything I have to consider work is done. As though everything's already taken care of. Shabbos comes in and...
For what? What
nothing to do with Shabbos. I work for a living. I'm a doctor, a lawyer, Indian chief. Whatever I do for a living, whatever projects I have around the house, whatever stuff, weekday stuff is going on. You always have a gazillion one weekday stuff. Because when Shabbos comes, it's all finished already.
That's not practical. That's not a practical...
I think that's what he's trying to tell you, how to keep Shabbos. It's not practical because clearly your projects are not finished. It's a mindset. Shabbos starts, and whatever is not done, it's not. You didn't finish what your project is supposed to do. If I'm working on painting, let's say it's coming, I'm working on painting the basement.
And right, so we're not saying that there's a chiyuv to finish the basement before Shabbos comes in. What we are saying is that once Shabbos arrives, in your mind, the basement is done.
Right.
Not just, I know I can't work on Shabbos. The basement is done. Done. Off my head.
You know it's not done.
And so now the question is...
Shabbos will Sunday morning, you can start again.
Oh, so the question is, well, wait a minute, the basement is done. Like, we're playing mind games here? Like, or...
Well, it takes away from the menucha when you know that you have to do something. So the mindset of, listen, I have this at my job, right? I have projects that are due all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if I spent Shabbos thinking about all the projects that needed to get done the next week, I would never enjoy my Shabbos. So the concept of, listen, when Shabbos starts, my iPhone goes off. It's not just a shutting, powering down a device. It's also kind of shutting down work so that I can focus and not have to worry about Shabbos. Right? So it's kind of the same concept here.
This poetry about iPhones is gorgeous. I'm not kidding. This is beautiful.
So that's the mindset.
Best part of Friday.
That's right, exactly.
You can shut that thing off.
Sometimes, hopefully, before the Chodesh.
Only the blog minion.
But I think that's the mindset it's going for. It's not an attainable or realistic goal that you're going to finish all your work in 6 days.
Right.
But it's supposed to feel as if I'm not thinking about it on Shabbos because it will take away from the menucha.
But you're also talking about your job. You're turning off your job. That's not what the Torah is referring to. It's not referring to just to your job. It's referring to everything that goes on in those 6 days.
Right.
Taking care of your household and all that.
I ignore my children. So it's not something
you okay. It's hard to know. It's never. I'm competing for who's saying the most troubling thing here.
I shut up my iPhone. We're done.
But the malacha you think
take
about
care of your kids. You have a family.
I have a family.
The things that we take care of. During
what's your name again?
Can I get that?
Half Shabbos.
These things are not, I mean, in our own life, we don't shut down. I mean, like, we're still taking care of our house. As a rug, you're still taking care of, you're still shepherding your flock. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but you're not dealing with issues that are not related to Shabbos, on Shabbos. You need to have family issues, which cannot be dealt with Shabbos. You put them aside until once the Shabbos is anymore. You don't, they're not discussed.
Specific to Malacha.
I'm not sure.
The plugs are malachah, specific to malacha. So things that are malacha, you're supposed to put out of your mind as if they're done. I don't think that means you're done dealing with the problems with your kids.
No.
Like you're dealing with.
Not that you don't.
That's what Shabbos is for. Talk about whether you like your kids' school or not.
Maybe. I thought lunch is for discussing whether you like the rabbi's drasha or not. The rabbi's tie.
You have plenty of time.
It's like, you know, someone once said, Stoker was telling me that he heard this halacha and he couldn't feel why he never saw it, that sometimes a kohen gets two aliyahs, and then he realizes because he's a levi, so it's halacha he never sees. So this whole business of what goes on at the Shabbos table, so I never get to, I always spoil the fun. I never get to see it. But, so it was, like, we put something, a lot of great threads on the table here. You're talking about the mentality, and I was serious about that, seeing the poetry in powering off your phone, and your point about what is it that we put out of our minds. It's the malacha, like you pointed, the pasuk says it, and clearly that's true, that we don't put all of life, we do not put our children on our mind, one hopes. Hopefully Shabbos is the time when you actually can put your children more on your mind.
Exactly.
Right? Let's understand that a little bit. So the poetry of the phone, has the poetry impact, well, it's only malacha. And what does it mean also that, and why should it be true that you put things out of your mind, ki'ilu, it's already done, and it's not in my head anymore. That's really what I was saying. I know if I had finished the project on Friday, so then it's not in my head. If I finished the painting on Friday, it's not in my head. If the deal was done, everything was, all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed, and signed, sealed, delivered out of my hands on Friday, it's not in my head. It happens to me it's not out of my hands on Friday because I know I'm going to have 27 emails waiting for me when I turn that thing on Master Chavez. But, ki'ilu, though. So what does that mean? So it's not just mind games. So what does it mean?
Because always the Menucha Chavez.
Oh, good. So one level, it's a practical thing. Well, if I want to have Menucha Chavez, right, so I better develop the ability to compartmentalize and say, that goes in a box, and the box stays closed, and we'll reopen the box when Chavez is open. Right. Certainly true.
Isn't there a godliness factor to all this, whereby the first pasuk that refers to Shabbos is more that Hashem accomplished something within a certain finite amount of time, and then the second one is a reminder that the seventh day you should rest for Hashem, whereby if you constantly work, you may not remember that Hashem exists. Ooh. Here's a day that Hashem dedicated towards resting, and not only are you not engaged in always constant your work, but also it's a day that you can remember the godliness, which is tied into the menucha as well.
Fantastic. Let's put this all together, and all these threads hang together in a very essential way, because and it all comes back to the mun also. What was the? Let's start with the mun. Then I think everything else will attack a lot of the ideas that Friedlander talks about, maybe from a different organization, different sequence. What do you see with the mun? What's the mun all about? What did the Jews learn with having mun? Like, why did God give them mun? There could be a lot of ways to deliver food. We get food delivered from God also, but like very different fashion. So, what was the point of mun? And God could have just take them through a civilized...
Make us reliant on God.
Make us reliant on Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's running the show. Right? And that is, it says, going back, we were talking last week about two routes that Adonirishon could have taken, the one he could have taken, the one he did take. Right? So the fact that we need to be very involved in managing our own Haza lives and funding, as with the fact that we have to be very proactive about how we fund our own Haza lives, so that goes back to Parshas Bereishis. That was Bezeisa Pecha Tocha Lachem. So one of the consequences of the Adam's failure at the Eitz Hadas is, okay, so now you're in the driver's seat. You're in the driver's seat in terms of your own Haza. apparently beforehand the plan was, you know, the way the Midrashim described it very dramatically, and it's easy to see in the Pesukim. The plan, original plan was that the Olam Hazeh would sort of take care of itself. That's a personal assistant takes care of that. I don't need to bother with my Olam Hazeh. It's gonna, you know, work itself out. And part of the sort of like bidyevet lifestyle that we live is that post admiration. No, that's our job. God gave us a job. We have to be actively engaged in funding and running and managing our Olam Hazeh, our physical lives, our physical financial lives. So, but what does that mean? That means that in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still running the show, but we have a mitzvah to do a shtavlus. We're expected to do our part, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gonna kick in and make things work.
The mon came, but it didn't come to your front stoop. I mean, you still had to go out and obtain it.
Good.
And also, if there wasn't mon, what would there be in the Midbar? How would they sustain themselves?
Right. Good. So with mon, so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives mon, you're right, there still is maybe a teeny drop. It doesn't. You didn't just sort of sit there and be nourished with nothing. There was something you had to do. You had to go get it. You have to go further or less far, however far an individual person had to go. But it was very clear. It was sort of like the hishtadlus was at such a minimum that it was inescapable. That yeah, I have to do. God expects me to do something, but that's like sort of like that's my mitzvah. Like I have to do my thing. Check. I have to check in. But it was clear that like I wasn't the maker of my destiny. It wasn't like I was. No one thought. No one had the illusion that like this, they're actually feeding themselves. Because guess what? As the Chumash says, whether you spent a half hour collecting mud and scooping it into your knapsack, or whether you spent 2 minutes, you came home with the same amount. Right. So it was clear that it wasn't like, you know, putting more hours at the office and all of a sudden you're going to have more mud. No. Whatever, it's good. God wants you to do your mitzvah of collecting, but He's the one who's really doing the providing. So that was extremely clear with mon. It is not clear. That was sort of like this idyllic point in life, in the life of the Jewish people, where that was like super clear. And then we moved beyond that, and we moved into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a very holy place, but we moved into holy, real life. We moved into holy, having a job. Right? They were farmers, and they were doing all sorts of stuff. They were building society, and engaging in running and managing and moving forward to Olam Hazeh. And there's always a real and present danger, that spiritual, religious danger, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to work hard in funding my Olam Hazeh. I may forget that I'm the junior partner. So there are a couple of ways that we maintain that. So one way is Hafrashas Challah. Another way is Shabbos. He doesn't talk about Hafrashas Challah. This is a Rabbi Zev Reichman, who's now Rabbi in Englewood. So we actually were in the Kol together. We're learning Maseches Challah. So he developed. We learned Halachas Challah, but he developed the Chassidish side. He developed part of the following idea that the Torah, when Torah talks, Hafrashas Challah seems like very like simple, prosaic mitzvah. You're making bread, so you take off a little bit. But here's what's fascinating. So how much, everyone knows that there's a minimum shear of flour you have to be using in order for the mitzvah challah to kick in. Where does that shear come? 3 to 5 pounds. Where does it come from? So it comes from the fact that the Torah seems to say, the way the Torah sort of phrases a wrinkle in the way the Torah presents the mitzvah of challah and parsha shlach, it sounds like when you have dough that's comparable to what you're getting at the time they were still living in the midbar, but when you come into, it says, kisavo el aretz, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to eat the bread of the land, when you have something that's comparable to what you're getting now, you can have a mitzvah of parsha shlach. And that shear, the 3 to 5 pounds, really is the omer, the amount of mon that they got. So you have the same volume of not lechem in Hashemayim, but lechem in Haaretz. You're in Eretz Yisrael, you're beyond the mun stage, you're living off the land, you're living off of the hedge fund, whatever it is, and you're living a more financially hands-on life. You're going to find ways to sort of like see the It's poetic soul, the poetic eye. All of a sudden, you're going to see the mun in what you're doing. You're going to see the mun at work. I mean, at your work. In other words, the paycheck comes, and you're going to see the mun in your paycheck. And that's the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. Even though you're eating lechem and aretz, not eating lechem ashamayim, you're going to see the min hashamayim part in your aretz. So that's really the idea, because I work hard, I make the bread, and then all of a sudden, I'm giving part of it to the kohen. Where kohen? Like, where? What's he? He didn't put in 5%. He wasn't one of the people who funded my dough, no pun intended. So like, why is he getting a share of the profits? The answer is no. Kadosh Baruch Hu is really one who's funded. Don't fool yourself. Another way in which that plays itself out, Shabbos, because Shabbos is and here we go sort of like the next layer of understanding of all the threads that were on the table before, because Shabbos is our chance to not do malacha. Like you say, it's about malacha. I still live, I still breathe, I still take care of my kids, I'm involved with Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm involved with other people. So what am I not doing? I'm not doing malacha. So what's the malacha? We said before, like sort of like, what seems like the more prosaic, technical part of Shabbos is like, you can't do the olam tes malachas, right? All things you can't do. The only things you can't do comes from where? Mishkan. So what's it all about? So... And what's all like? Malacha, because they did a lot in the Mishkan. They planted the Mishkan, I can't plant, and they were weaving the Mishkan, so I can't weave, and they were building bonfires in the Mishkan, I can't build bonfires. It's great. They also breathed in the Mishkan, and they also communicated in the Mishkan. Like, you couldn't have built the Mishkan without you can't. That's our group project. You need good communication. Right? Anyone's in management? I don't know who's in management, right? Today's day off, right? But it goes without saying, everyone's very groany, right? If you don't have good communication, it's going to be, as we all know, any sort of group project obviously hinges on communication. It's critical. So they spoke in the Mishkan, so we shouldn't talk. It would go back to that whole other approach to Shabbos, right? Which is not the normative approach to Shabbos. So why not? Say, hey, why not? I can't talk. So what? They did in the Mishkan. So the answer is, what we're looking for in Mishkan that we're avoiding on Shabbos isn't just like behaviors, like every behavior. They wore clothing and they breathed and they walked around. It's creative activity. Something that was creative. The Mishkan, building the Mishkan is like one of the prototype, the paradigms of making something new, creating something complex in Chumash. It's almost like, it's like a human analog to the divine creation of the universe. As human beings have sort of the miniature, we're not God, but it's sort of our own little way, making the Mishkan with all its complexity and different facets. So that was sort of like a human review, like we were like doing a reprise of Bria Sol. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says you're gonna not do like Mishkan, the sort of stuff that went to Mishkan, you're not doing that on Shabbos. Not like, yeah, you breathe on and make the Mishkan, it's fine, but it's not the point. The point is, you're gonna take a step back from like making things, from being creative. That's what Malacha means. The Ramban writes, it has nothing to do with Tircha, it has nothing to do with hard work. So the whole Ovis and Toldos business, like juicing a lemon, is like threshing. Because you're not looking at like the tools, the equipment, the details. It's all about what was the creative aspect. Creative aspect of, let's say, threshing was you gain something out of its natural container. So juicing a lemon looks very different, but the creative element of it is the same. So that's really what Malach is all about, is taking a step back from creativity. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu does. And he wasn't working hard for 6 days, or whatever 6 days means. He wasn't working hard. It wasn't exertion, but he was being very creative. And all of a sudden, the creativity stops. So Kadosh Baruch Hu takes a step back and says, now we're going to let people, now you and me, the drivers. Right now, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, now I'm taking a step back. But we take a step back on Shabbos. Not, again, the point isn't so much the sweat, the hard work. It's about stepping back from Malacha. So what's the significance? It means step back from creativity. If you think about it, what it means for us, what it means for Kadosh Baruch Hu to step back from creativity is that he was allowing room for human beings to operate. Now he's going to step back. Step back into backstage so the human beings can have their own free will, and then we have the room to sort of to make moral choices, to be challenged, and hopefully to use our free will well. When we step back on Shabbos from our creativity, sort of like mirror image. What we're doing is we're stepping back from, we're allowing ourselves to realize, like to walk away from the illusion that we sometimes create, that we're really in charge. We step back, so the HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps back to give us space to operate. We step back to allow ourselves space to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really in the driver's seat. We're the junior partners. And that's the Kol Melachtecha Asuya. So whether that's like minded, so you on one level you're saying it's practicality. If I want to enjoy Shabbos, I better figure out how to pack away everything in a box. That's certainly true. But the causality works both ways. It's true that if I want to enjoy Shabbos, I better put everything in a box in my head. But it's also philosophically, it makes sense. It's not just like a device. It's not just a trick, a technique. In order to enjoy Shabbos, I better like pretend that everything's done. On a certain level, it is all done. Not that the clients aren't waiting for me after Shabbos, they are. Not that half the basement is still unpaid, it is. But when I recognize it's done, I mean, Shabbos is my chance to reconnect with the true reality. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's in charge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want me to not show up to work. God wants me to put in time and to sweat. Hashtadlus is important. But I have to realize that, yeah, I'm sweating at work. Yeah, I'm swaying, keeping up the house, but at the same time, I recognize I'm doing that because that's my mitzvah. But results, I'm a chiyuv, I'm responsible for process. The product ultimately is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. So in a sense, kol melachti asuya, it's all done because I realize Shabbos. I realize that it's not ultimately up to me. So in that sense, it really is true. Because are the clients going to be happy after Shabbos or not? I don't know. But what I do remind myself over Shabbos is that long term, in the end, that's to be, I need to do my part, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately going to make that call of how the has how is the deal going to go through? Is the idea going to gain traction? Is the marketing campaign going to pick up speed? I need to do my part. I can't slack off. I have to be a responsible person. Process. Product ultimately is B'yad Hashem. And that's how all the pieces, that's part of the essence of Shabbos. It's not, and that's the deeper reality of all those pieces we're talking about. Bat Malacha and Bat Kamla and the paradigm Kamla to Chasuya, and why Mun is so critical. Why is Mun, like, Mun is there from the beginning, and it's like the opening presentation to Jewish people. Yeah, because that's the thematic essence of Shabbos. The details of the halacha is very important, but that's not what it's all about. The details of the halachas are supposed to get you somewhere. Shabbos is like a melech, Hilcha Shabbos is a way to get ourselves to a certain place, to get our brains, get our minds in a certain place.
So the one that fell wasn't just to show everybody that it was to take one stress away, right? You don't have to worry about food. Hashem's going to provide food, and also show you that Hashem's in charge and He's going to provide for you. And so the menucha isn't so much the, okay, it's a 6 day, I need to stop working. It's the rest that comes from knowing that it's all in Hashem's hands, and therefore it's out of yours. And just like the food was provided, which took a certain stress away from being, you know, in a desert without any food, on Shabbos, the menucha is the realization or the manifestation that Hashem is in charge, and so therefore there's really nothing to worry about. You can rest.
Right. Right, and they're both true at the same time. In other words, all the practical aspects of Shabbos that we enjoy and experience are absolutely true. What's fascinating is you see how, like, sort of like the philosophies, all those practical pieces, like the way in which we enjoy Shabbos, the way in which we compartmentalize, the way in which we put things out of our mind and enjoy the calm, those are all true, and at the same time, they're also expressive, poetically, of the deeper themes. It's sort of like the deeper ideas of Shabbos are sort of like playing themselves out in the way we act. We're living those ideas.
So our Shabbos, in some ways, getting us back to the what was in people's heads and ways of living during the 6 days of the week when they were getting mom.
Right. That's right. That's a good point. Right? In the Midbar, they were living this 6 days a week also. Shabbos was sort of, I guess, even more obvious. And I guess, in a sense, it had its own stresses because once you got used to that system of mom, where you always got a certain amount and it expired overnight. So I guess there was like a certain, I guess at least the first time around, it's like a certain stress of like, the food's not going to last till tomorrow. And you have to just know that this Shabbos is different. But, right, Shabbos, in a sense, our Shabbos is getting ourselves back to the 7 day week. What was so clear every day of the week in the Midbar, where we can recapture on Shabbos. It's up to us. Is Shabbos just going to be relaxing, reviving, and spiritually refreshing on sort of like on the first level of, well, it is a chance to not think about work, it's a chance to think about relationships with our children, and relationships with our spouse, and relationships with our Kadosh Baruch Hu. That itself is incredibly valuable. But we can also, if we approach it with thought, so then it unlocks another whole layer. In addition to enjoying Shabbos at that level, it also allows us to recharge, like, in terms of our understanding, like how we think about ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because then we're living and acting out these ideas. And then over time, if you do it 50 times a year, over 20 years, it means you've reviewed 1,000 times. 1,000 times you've acted out the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really the one who was in charge. If I go through a Shabbos thinking about those ideas, even if it's not 24 hours, even just while I'm saying Kiddush, I sort of like actively think about the fact that what I'm doing here is I'm reenacting and playing out the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of 7 days a week. You do that for 20 years, you spend 1,000 times you pound that home, that's powerful stuff. That's like, we're talking, that's a major force in terms of building bitachon. Then yeah, and then you approach things with a lot more equanimity.
It sounds like that the seventh day, when we come into the seventh day, the only thing that's really ended is the physical creativity. That's what we're saying, is physical creativity, building a house. That ends. And we know that ends. But in your own mind, though, it's not saying that that part needs to stop. What you're saying now is that you're hoping after repetitive thinking on this, you're hoping that, you know, my brain will shut down and I'll stop thinking of work when
it's
the Shabbos.
It is,
that needs to end is the...
No. It is true that it should be in your mind, Kiilu Kamala, the idea that Mechilta says, the idea of that pasuk, the curious pasuk we talk about, like, and the Sheish Shabbatav is come Achtacha, the point was, it's only for your mindset has to be, at the end of the 6 days, it's gone. That's absolutely true. But I'm saying both that mentality that's expected of us and the sort of the hands, the behavioral expectations of not doing malacha, both of those are true and in their own right. And they also speak to a certain idea. They express, like with all of Torah, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has certain behavioral expectations of us, mitzvahs and averus, and we need to do that, and there's inherent value in doing the right thing and not doing the wrong thing. And there's also value in terms of like the mindset and the attitude and the philosophy that those behaviors express. And I gain a lot just from doing mitzvahs. I gain even more when I do the mitzvahs and I'm tuned into the ideas that are playing themselves out. So with Shabbos, it's a little more obvious, maybe there's some other mitzvahs. That just not doing malacha, that's already amazing. Just, you know, turn off the phone and block it out, that's already incredible. Then I can supercharge it when by not doing malacha and not thinking about malacha and understanding what ideas that those two things bring me to. And understand the paradigm that builds of recognizing the reality of my role in my life. And that's a much deeper, and that's a whole other additional layer of menucha. Not only menucha that I don't have to worry about this today, it's a menucha of, there's a lot of equanimity and calm that can, in the face of uncertainty, that flows from a reality, from a recognition, the life, the way the Chazon Ish, maybe we'll close this. Ooh. Sorry, we're over time. Chazon Ish writes that, I'll close this idea. Chazon Ish writes in a small sefer, Emunah Bitachon, second chapter is about Bitachon. See, he says it's a common misconception, like a religious urban legend, that Bitachon means that you have to believe that everything will work out the way you expect it to. Like, the way the Babi tells you, you know, is, have bitachon you'll pass the test. Have bitachon that the interview will go well, you get the job. Have bitachon that XYZ will happen. That's false. That's not the Jewish religion, because Jewish religion is true. It's not, you don't always get the job you want to get. Right? You don't always get the deal you want to get. Right? Sometimes you want it to, and it didn't happen. So that means my bitachon is a bunch of pack of lies. It's not bitachon. If that's bitachon, then bitachon is false. So Chazan says, that's not why. Chazan says, and why should it be true? Why don't, really? God has to listen to me? Why would I assume, what would lead me to believe that everything happens the way I want it to happen? Besides the fact that empirically it's clearly, at least for most of us, it's clearly not the case. So he says, and there's no reason why I, whatever, being given what I know about God, there's no reason that I would should assume that it should be the case. It's not reasonable. It's not logical. He says, you know what bitachon means? He says, you know what? Let me tell you what bitachon does mean. Not only does it make a lot more sense, it actually is a lot more satisfying. He says, bitachon doesn't mean that what I want to happen is going to happen. Bitachon means that I recognize that God is in control, and what God wants to happen is going to happen. And let's translate that into life isn't random. Bitachon is recognition that I'm not just sort of spinning through life and rudderlessly. Bitachon is recognition that instead, Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the driver's seat.
God has a plan.
Right. So I don't always get the picture, but the fact that you know that someone is, and that God's at the wheel, guess what? The best possible driver is behind the wheel. The driver with the most perspective and the most power and the most control is in the driver's seat. That's, if you think about it more with sophistication, that's incredibly common. It's actually a lot more common than what I want to have is going to happen, because guess what? He has a lot better, much better perspective than I do. So I'd much rather that he be in charge. Like, once you start to think of it, surely, that's great. It doesn't mean in the moment it's not always great. In the moment it can be very confusing. In the moment it can be very conflicting. In the short term, when I don't see the big picture, it's not, often not so comfortable. And it's actually very unsettling. Like, I don't really get it. But when I can sort of step away from my emotions, which isn't always easy, rationally speaking, this is incredible. That's real bitachon. And that's what Shabbos is all about. It's recognizing, you know what? It's a bigger picture here. And guess what? And that's incredibly calming. Kadosh Baruch Hu's in charge. I have to do my part. I have to honestly, responsibly. But guess what? Ultimately, you know, I have a senior partner who's running the show. That's fantastic. That's the menucha. In addition to the hands on menucha that we experience, it's like the deeper menucha that we experience. Over 1,000 Shabbosos of 20 years, that's going to, of thoughtful, 1,000 thoughtful Shabbosos, it's going to breed a sense of calm. There's a lot more to say about this. Yeah, right. Shabbos is writ large.